And we thank God every day because He is good. And you know, the goodness of God goes somewhere.
Hallelujah.
It has an effect. It has power. And the goodness of God is so awesome that I would say 99% of Christians don't know, let alone the world. I would say most Christians are not aware of the goodness of God. And they misunderstand God because He is good. But He's only good. And He's the only one that is good. And no one else is good. So, I mean, that's pretty amazing to have a good God. That means all the other gods are false because they're not good. They put pressure on you and they put guilt on you. And they want you to behave not by His might and His power, as we just sang, but God doesn't want us to behave in our might, in our strength, in our power, in our wisdom, in our goodness, in our greatness, in our awesomeness. God doesn't want that. That would be labor. He hates laborers. God is totally into not labor. He's totally into, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He's totally into rest. He wants us to just relax, be what you are, be exactly what you are, good or bad, doesn't matter. Be what you are, and He loves you that way.
Hallelujah!
He doesn't love good people. God does not love good people.
Amen.
That's where I'm a little bit weird as pastor, but I'm right. And that's what the Bible teaches, is that God came for the sinner. Came for the sinner. Of course, the sinner's going to repent, meaning he changes his mind about, hey, doing my own thing is going to bring happiness. Well, that's wrong. That is an illusion. Whatever you do, good or bad, if you're moral, that's not going to bring happiness. And if you're immoral, that's not going to produce happiness. And God is totally into happiness. How many know that God is in the happiness? Because He's good.
Amen.
I mean, He's happy.
Amen.
And He says, happy is the man, meaning woman or man, who trusts in the Lord.
Amen.
So He doesn't want you to trust in yourself. He doesn't want you to be good. He doesn't want you to work hard. It's like little kids. They don't do anything. Little kids do nothing but, you know, run around the house and do stuff and whatever. They're just themselves. They don't know how to be fake and phony until they get bigger. They're just totally themselves. When they cry, they cry. And when they laugh, they laugh. And when they dance, they dance. And little kids are totally spontaneous. And we are the ones that fake it. We're phony, fake, pretending. Because civilization requires it. I mean, you can't live in civilization, punch people. So part of civilization is behave yourself. And, you know, it works because I go out and my hubcaps are usually on the car. And so, you know, obviously people are behaving. You know, they haven't slashed my tires or, you know, jacked it up and taken them off or whatever. And so it's neat to be in a civilization that protects you like that. But you know what? It's not heaven.
Right.
Heaven is not behavior.
Right.
Heaven is, I want you to listen carefully because it's your life. I mean, I'm not talking for my sake. I'm talking for your sake that God wants you to trust in Him because He's God and there isn't anybody else. And everything, He's totally pleased with you. So I wanted to talk about judgment today and then, of course, mercy, which is the other side of the two-edged sword that comes out of Jesus' mouth. Remember in Revelation 1:6, he's talking, or 1:16, whatever it is. It's in the first chapter. He's talking about I turned and I saw the Lord, and He had white hair and fire coming out of His eyes, and so on and so forth. And He had seven stars in His hands, representing the seven churches that from the time He died until today, 2,000 years, those seven churches have filled up the pages of history. And He has to judge them. He has to judge them to see if there's any sin in them. Now, He's not judging them to destroy them. He's judging them to see whether they're His. If they're His, there won't be any sin. But if there's a little bit of sin, then He has to get rid of it. not again, not to send you to hell or something, but just simply so that you can have heaven on earth as it is in heaven, so on earth. So he actually wants you to live heaven on earth. And it's amazing today when there's so much hell on earth that we're still having heaven.
Amen.
I'm not in the hell that the rest of the world's in. I'm totally having a good time, loving people, loving my enemies, blessing them and so on, because they don't bother me. I don't care how hellish ISIS is or how many heads they chop off and so on. I still love them, still pray for them, still bless them. Why? Because God said that's the way it is. That's the way I am. Because if God was to chop off heads, there wouldn't be any heads left. He's not into that.
Right.
So that teaching is a false teaching. But we're not mad at those people. It's just they don't know any better because they haven't seen us. They never saw real Christians. The Crusades didn't help them to see real Christians.
Right.
The Jewish people didn't help them to see real Jews and so on and so forth. There's a problem in the world today. The Catholic Church, I don't think anybody here is Catholic, but if you are, the Catholic Church wasn't a good example during the Crusades and Inquisition and all that stuff. So violence and religion have been joined together throughout all of human history. And Jesus didn't want that. So he's going through his church and removing all the sins in each church, not to punish the church, but so you can be happy. If you're sinning, you're not happy.
That's right.
Advertising, the whole industry of advertising is built on the idea that if you don't use this soap, you won't get the girls or something, or it won't smell good, or the boys won't come around, or whatever. If you don't brush your teeth with this, and so on. So they're advertising based on unhappiness in you. So they go for sin. In other words, advertising built on sin.
Right.
And it works. That's why it works. Otherwise, you know, if the product's so good, why advertise? I mean, if it's so good, everybody buy it. But they want to sell a bad product that isn't that good. And then they advertise, though, and make you think it's good when it's not. They buy it and they realize the girl didn't come around, or, you know, your teeth did fall out or something or other. But so they build the whole world on illusion that you're afraid of sin. You're afraid of, you know, losing your health or of not looking good or something. Or so they play on that fact that you're unhappy. If you're happy, you don't buy things. You don't need things to make you happy. You don't need to have tons of friends. You don't need to have anything. You don't need to have a Hollywood stardom thing to be happy. Obviously, a lot of our Hollywood people, or you know, people that are show business, whatever, they're not happy. They're actually drug addicts and, you know, pedophiles and everything else. Because they're unhappy. Basically unhappy, though they smile for the camera. They know how to smile for the camera. So, I want to look at the Bible today, which is what we always look at. It's the only thing we have is the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You have this written book, which looks so like every other book, that it's amazing God didn't put gold pages or something, or fix it up a little bit, so it looks fancy. It looks just like every other thing. And all the words in it are just regular words. There aren't any special God words. It's just regular words. So it's not very interesting because it looks plain. It doesn't look, you know, incredible. You know, like Cecil B. DeMille would do it or something. Where he'd dress it up and fancy it up. And God has this deep voice and stuff. Our religion is just purely historical, meaning it's a time-space thing. You were not built with our religions. Nobody was born Christian. You're not born Christian.
Right.
You have to be reborn.
Right.
You have to come into a complete new idea. So this little sword up here has two words on it, judgment on the top blade and then mercy on the bottom side of the blade. This was a new invention that the Romans, developed it. They at least were the first to utilize it in a big way. And two swords, a sword with two edges. You used to have just one edge. You had the backside of the sword, and you could just hack at somebody. But with two sides, you can hit two people at once. Because you can hit this one, and then pull it out and hit that one. And so they could do twice as much with a two-edged sword. Well, that's just like God. God can hit you with judgment and then on the other side give you mercy. In other words, he cuts you, but he also heals you. In other words, he shows you your sin and then he can forgive you. That's amazing.
Hallelujah.
He's got a two-edged sword in his mouth, and it's coming out of his mouth because it's not a sword. It's coming out of his mouth to show that what he's saying is the words that I speak to you are always two-edged. They both come to kill your flesh, to kill the deed, and then to save the person. Jesus came to save sinners. So the judgment is falling on Jesus. All the judgment falls on Jesus. All the mercy falls on you. You see that? So instead of Jesus cutting the harlot, he cut himself. He died for her and let her go. He had all those witnesses and he disqualified them because under the law, he would have to have stoned her. And they knew that. That's why they put her in front of him. They went, well, how do you judge this woman? And so Jesus said, well, before I do the judgment, I have to examine the witnesses. So, anyone who's a witness here, if your hands are clean, you can be a witness. But if you have done the same sin, then I'm going to disqualify you. Are you hearing me? So Jesus disqualified all the ones, and he said, from the youngest to the eldest, they all went away. Or the eldest to the youngest, whichever one. But he had kind of a deal there, where whoever hasn't committed a sin, you throw the first stone. In other words, your hands better be clean if you're going to judge. Because when God judges someone, he always reserves mercy. I would say again, I want to get rid of the idea that you're afraid of judgment, the final judgment, whatever kind of judgment. God doesn't have any. Every time he judges you, he takes care of himself. He pays. If you do wrong, he pays. That's like a parent. That's like a parent. A parent who loves his child tells him, you know, don't do that or I'm going to spank you. But he also is going to pay for their college. I mean, it works out pretty good for the little kid. So don't forget that, Jacob. Your dad may spank you, but he's also going to pay for your school. Take care of you. Bless you. So in the end, it works out okay. Hey, what's a spanking for a whole college education, you know? So we'll get going. Start saving up. Judgment for God has never been judgment. Never. I don't care what you've read. I don't care what you think. God has never been a judge. The only judgment he's ever judged is Jesus. That's the only one he's ever judged. That's the one who took it all. Now there's none left. If Jesus gets the spanking and I did the bad deed, good for Jesus. He's happy. I'm happy. Jesus was happy to take the spanking for Bonnie. He loved it. He said, I don't want Bonnie to do this. I'll take it. Wow. That made Bonnie happy and Jesus happy. He was happy that Bonnie didn't have to pay for that. Y'all understand? So judgment with God is judgment against the deed, but never against the person. You see that? So under the law, there is judgment of sin, but it always goes toward the deed. It never goes toward the person. So the person is always saved. The deed is always condemned. Did you see that? The deed is condemned by the death of Jesus. And Jesus did the good deed of dying for Bonnie. I think that's awesome. So when you judge somebody with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. As though you didn't do the very same thing. In other words, you're judging a person for a deed they did. But God doesn't ever, he has never done that. God has never done that. He has never judged the person. He always saves the person and condemns the deed. That's a good father. That's a good mother. That's a good friend. That's a good human being. Well, this is not yet the way it is on earth as it is in heaven. Again, we had a Catholic priest yesterday who did the wedding that we were in. He invited me to participate in the song, but it was really his deal. And so I can go ahead and do it and say some prayers for a few weeks. Anyway, The guy gave a great message. He wasn't a very good Catholic, though. He gave a gospel message, and to prove it, this Catholic priest has 39,000 members in his church.
9,000 families.
9,000 families right here in Capel.
29,000
members.
Praise God.
Well, I don't think we have that many. But in his message, he ended it with this. This is how he ended it. I'm going to, now that this wedding is over and so on, I'm going to play the harmonica. And he started playing the harmonica. Amazing Grace.
Sweet.
And that's not a Catholic thing. They used to chop our heads off and burn us at the stake and so on. But they changed. They've got now the Protestant good news gospel message that I'm talking about right now. They got it down. Is that judgment is no longer do works or you have to go to hell. They're not doing that anymore. And that was amazing to me. That was amazing to me that God is all good news, and that even the Jewish people are getting it, and the Catholic people are getting it, Hindus and Buddhists. And I tell you, that's pretty exciting. That we've actually won. I don't know if you know it. You're looking at the wrong thing if you don't know it. That we're prevailing. We are actually winning. You may think Al-Qaeda's on the rise and all that kind of nonsense and stuff. That's just the old baloney we used to do, too. But God is no longer into violence and religion going together. But they haven't finished their deal off. They want the same time Jews had, stoning, harlots and stuff. And then Christians had doing crusades and inquisitions and stuff. And then Massachusetts, they chopped your nose off or your ears or something. They like the idea of violence and religion going together. So you make people behave, do what's good. Force people to do what's good. It's only good for them. How many know that sounds like child raising? Is you spank them when they do wrong. But God doesn't. I just want you to know right now, He never has spanked anybody for doing wrong. Not Adam, not Eve. Remember the law? Don't eat of that tree, or the day you eat them, you'll die. And then they did it, and they didn't. Remember, He never did it. They didn't die.
Right.
That God sounded like He lied, or changed His mind, or something. Well, no, God neither lies nor changes His mind. He just changed the definition of day to be 1,000 years. 1,000 years is the day to the Lord, and then a day to the Lord is 1,000 years to us. So He just changed that. So Adam lived 930 years. But he didn't live 1,000. Y'all see that?
Right.
So the day you eat it, you'll die. He just changed the definition of the word day. Mm-hmm. For us, it was 24 hours. To Him, he has His choice. It could be one day, 24 hours. And that's the normal. But if He wants to, He could try another idea of the word day. I think I'll go age this time. I'll make 1,000 years. So God has 7,000 years of history. We've just done 6. So we've only got 1,000 to go, and that's called the millennium. And so even though we're in it, we're not in it yet. I mean, He'll be back soon, because we've only got 1,000 years to go. And then it's over. If 1,000 years is the day of the Lord, it's going to be over in 1 week, because the first week, and that was it. So He created the world in 7 days, meaning 7,000 years. He's been working at this world. Now, this idea that I just said is not only in the Bible, but the fathers of the church, they all said it too. Every one of them. So they all believed from the beginning, this is the first group after Jesus, they all believed that world history would only be 7,000 years. And they believed 6,000 would be sinful, and then 1,000 would be a Christian's ruling. So we're right in line with where they are. And it doesn't make any difference. I'm just saying God's good. I don't really care about all the time things and so on and so forth. I'm just saying God is good. So, what is judgment for? That's the top of the sword. Two-edged sword coming out of Jesus' mouth in the first chapter of Revelation when He's judging His church. He's looking over His 7 churches. He's got 7 stars in His hand of the 7 churches, which have 7 lampstands. And those lampstands are, they got oil in them and little wicks and so on and so forth. And they each last a certain amount of time. And then, and he gets all the sin out of one, the first one, Ephesus, the second one, and so on and so on. And he just gets all the sin out of them. And we're in the last one, Laodicea. And now it's almost over, so we're in the lukewarm church. That was its sin. The first one, you've lost your first love, and so on. They each have one or two or three sins, and then that's about it. And he doesn't pick out every sin they have. He just picks out kind of a major sin of the age. Because it lasts a while. So for 2,000 years, he's been judging those seven churches, and now we're at the last one. And so now it's time, I wish you were cold or hot. So when someone's against Jesus, that's good. When someone's for Jesus, that's good. But when someone is kind of in the middle, lukewarm, that's not good. Jesus said, I'm going to spew that one out of my mouth. But the one that's cold has a chance because the hot one could get the cold one hot.
Amen.
And there's a better chance on that one getting hot than there is for the lukewarm, because the lukewarm says, no, I'm already a Christian. Yeah, you're a Christian, but you don't go all the way. Well, I know, but I do the best I can. I know that that's not what I want. I want no sin. I mean, I want you all to go to heaven. I want you all to be happy with me forever and ever and ever and ever. Not just for this world, but for the world to come.
Yeah.
So judgment is only to judge sin. It never judges person. It gets the deed, but it never gets the person. The mercy's for the person. The judgment's for the deed. So God has never judged a person. And never will. Unless you choose not to be in Christ. Unless you choose not to believe that God is good. And so, any man in Christ can't be condemned. If you're in Christ, that is, if you believe that what he did was to show you the true God, which is every judgment is on himself, and every God, any goodness, all the blessing, that's all for you. If you believe that, and I do. If you believe that, and I do. If you believe that, you're happy. You have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. You have all those fruits of the Spirit because you believe that all the judgment that's ever been judged by God is always against himself. That's a good parent. That's a good husband. That's a good husband, Jerry. That's a good husband. That if there should be any fault in a relationship, I'll take all the burden. That's a man. I'll take all the burden. Anything goes wrong with Willis and Kath, that's going to be Willis's problem. Willis, you bear the brunt.
Could we move that down here where we could read it?
Oh, sure. Sure.
I can do it.
Yeah.
Can you do it, Alex?
Of course.
Here, step
down. Alex can do it.
No, don't spill it.
Don't spill it. Further.
Yeah.
It would be great.
Right.
Just carry around a cell phone. Thank you.
So, you see this sword coming out of Jesus' mouth is a picture of the last 2,000 years. And it always has judgment in it, but it always goes on Jesus. Because that's open. So he's judging your sin, the deed, but he's never going to judge you, the doer of the deed. Jesus always wants happiness. You can tell this is a happy picture. Because the goodness of God is going to always make the law go to him and never on you.
Amen.
You're not under the law. You're under grace. So you're under mercy and then the power that actually changes you into his likeness. You're under grace. You're under mercy. You're under love. And it's just the way all little kids think about it. Little bitty kids, they don't know anything. They never keep the law. You tell them to be quiet and they keep yelling. You tell them to get over here and they're just not into laws. I don't know if you've noticed that about little kids. And even up to, you know, high school, they're still unruly. Have you ever noticed that, Roxy?
Mm-hmm.
The kids that are a little older, you think, you know, they're well-disciplined and so on. Well, they're not. They're thinking a little devious things and the teacher's not even noticing. And passing notes and thinking of dating and, you know, playing games or something like that. They're not at all, you know, eager there to learn. Very few of them are there. I can hardly wait till the teacher teaches. I want to learn everything. They got a totally different idea. So judgment always falls on the teacher. It's always the teacher's fault. If the people don't learn, it's Pastor Jim's fault. It's not your fault. It's never going to be your fault. It'll always be my fault. And so the judgment must come on me. Right?
Yep.
So if Cynthia doesn't get it, it's my fault. Not hers. It's not hers for not learning, it's mine for not teaching. And the way Jesus taught was very interesting. If there was a problem, he paid. Now, that's very interesting. So if something goes wrong, it's always Pastor Jim's fault. I love that. Do y'all see that? And I willingly do. I like doing that. I don't want it to be your fault. I want you to be happy and free and mess up. And some of you have been very obliging. And I want that. I don't care, because all the judgment's going to fall on me and all the good news is going to fall on you. So the person and the deed are separated by God, always have been and always will be. Why? I'll give you two reasons. Number one, Genesis 1:26. And God created man in his own image. Let us create man in our image. Okay? Betzalemu. According to our likeness. Kedemutnu. Betzalemu kedemutnu. Because of that, everybody has a dignity that God can judge the deed, but he can't kill the person. Because he made him. And he put his own image on him. And he put his own image on him. So we know they messed up. We know that they did everything that he said not to do, they did it. And everything he said to do, they didn't. We know that. But why didn't he judge them then? Because he's a judging holy God. Why didn't his holiness judge that? Because God never uses his holiness to judge you, but only to judge the deed, and then to forgive you and save you. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to forgive sinners. Simple. Isn't that powerful? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this is the condemnation, that the light came into the world and people love darkness rather than light. So what? He still is going to die for them. Even though they did wrong, and even though he said, you will die, he meant, I will substitute for you, and in that way you will die. So I'll pay for the deed, and that'll set you free. The kid comes out good. The person comes out good. So even though you sin, everybody here has. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And everybody here sins. You can sin secretly or openly or any way you want to. Everybody sins. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But no judgment can ever fall upon you. So this two-edged sword coming out of his mouth to judge you can never judge you. It can only judge your deed and separate you from the deed so that the person is saved and the deed is the one that's condemned. So yes, when I hate somebody, I'm wrong. I can hate what they do, but I can't hate them. Al-Qaeda. If Al-Qaeda chops my head off, I can hate what they did because it doesn't lead to their happiness. Did you hear what I said? I didn't say because I got my head chopped off. I said, no, them chopping my head off doesn't make them happy.
Right.
So even though they chop my head off, I'm concerned not about my head going off. I'm concerned because I can't lose my head because it's Jesus. But I'm concerned about their happiness. That's not going to make you happy. You try to get rid of Christians, it's not going to work because we're here forever. And we're never going away. We will always win. So we got a better religion than they do because ours is a blessing religion. Theirs is a dark religion, cursing religion, putting punishment on people. We never punish people. Amen? Y'all see this?
Amen.
I never punish people. I can't punish Peggy when she does wrong. You know, Kathy, you won't believe this, but every day she does something wrong. Every day. But, you know, being a good pastor, I just forgive her. Very kind and nice. Generous. No, not at all. I may not like what she does, and she'll ask me, well, why are you saying this or doing that or whatever? I say, oh, it's because I'm helping you. You're not helping me. You're mad at me. No, I'm not. I'm mad at the deed. Because I want you to be happy. I'm not mad at the deed because it's bad. I'm mad at the deed because it doesn't make you happy. You see that?
Yes.
You understand that?
Yeah.
I think he doesn't believe a word of that, but I'm telling him. That's a good one. That's a good one. I think every man should pay attention to that. Because you never are mad at your wife, I don't care what she's done. Never. You're only mad at the deed because she isn't happy. Because that's the purpose of the husband, to make the wife happy. Set her free. No more labor, no more work, no more debt, no more worry, no more care. See, Peggy can't do anything that I don't care what she does. I don't care what she doesn't do. I don't care what she says. I don't care what she doesn't say. I love her just the way she is. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I love you with an unconditional love. That's the way God loved me. We love because he first loved us. Right? So we love people that are mean.
Yes.
But we just forgive the deed and save the person. You see that? Make that separation when you see somebody doing bad, that even if it's their fault, don't blame them. Jesus paid for the deed, and now let the person be saved. Let them become happy. Saved means free, happy, burden-free, you know, running around and so on. Not under any burden, not under any care. How many people are walking around with guilt? How many people, you know, are trying to behave? Golly, what for? I don't care what how you behave. I don't care how a person behaves. I don't care if they hate me or love me or think I'm crazy or whatever. Go ahead, think what you want. I'm happy. Why? Because Jesus forgave all my sin. I'm not even interested in your sin. Your sin doesn't even bother me at all. Why? Because Jesus already paid for me. I've got eternity. Even if you kill me, even if you torture me, I don't care what you do. It doesn't bother me a bit. It has no impact on my life whatsoever. Could someone say amen without
me?
This is a good sermon. I'm going to keep going. Yes. But I haven't even got into it. I'm just trying to give you how simple it is. I've always believed this. I will always believe this. There's two things. The Word of God. There's always judgment for sin. And it's never judgment for you. The Word of God is always mercy, not for sin, but for you. So, judgment and mercy. He has a two-edged sword coming out. All the judgment falls on Jesus. All the mercy falls to me. Just like the husband is to the wife. As Christ loved the church, so let every man love his wife. Just the same way. How did he love the church? About giving her mercy. Why? Because she deserved nothing. She deserved judgment, but he gave her mercy. So he judged the deed by dying himself for her deed. And by doing that, the Father then said, what you did was good. Jim deserved hell, but you gave him, you wanted him to be in heaven because that was my original idea. Remember, he put on us, Betzalemnu Kedemutnu, he put on us this image which gave us a natural dignity, value, and worth that no other man could take away. God could, but God wouldn't. He recognizes that dignity in you by saying, let's kill the deed and separate the person from the deed. So the person can confess the sin, and then he's on the right side of God. He's justified. Just by confessing my sin and believing on Jesus, I'm justified. You see that? I'm right with God. I'm exactly what God wants. Even though I did everything he said not to do, it doesn't matter, because he's going to pay on the cross for me forever, and I'm never going to have to pay for any of my sins. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. Isn't that amazing? Amen. That's amazing. So judgment never falls on you. In other words, I could say clearly, judgment has already been paid. In Christ. I mean, I know somebody outside of Christ. But what we need to do is be Christians that actually are happy about this so that other people can see it from other religions and other philosophies and other ways of life and that they can take hope too so that all the prisoners could be set free. I like to go to prison. Because when I'm in prison, I have a captive audience. And they listen. The longer you stay, the more they like it. They want to stay as long as possible to be in an air-conditioned gymnasium or whatever, rather than in their cells and stuff. They like getting away and being free. And you know what they do? They worship Jesus. I mean, they are worshipers. When they worship, they go for it. And they love their neighbor. So it's good. So you just tell them the truth. Here's the truth. That there's judgment, but it's only for the deed. It's never for the person. Therefore, the person should be free.
Praise the Lord.
So they can be free in prison. Even though they're in prison. Because society isn't like God. I don't know if you noticed that. Society's meaner than that. They like to punish people who do bad and force people to do good. But God's never done that. Never will. He never forces anything good, right, just, true. Never. So, since he never punishes people, he only punishes deeds. That's amazing. Where's the punishment then? There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Right? So, this two-edged sword that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, Jesus Christ, to judge the church of all of its sin is to purify the house of God. It's not to punish. I'm not punishing you. It's just purifying you. Why? So you can go to heaven. So you can get out of this world and go to a better world. But for 1,000 years on this earth, we're going to be living, and I'm going to be an awesome pastor during that time. I'm not now. I'm hardly known at all. And, you know, I don't have anything like 29,000 church members in Capel. But so what? I've got 24.
Amen.
Amen. 24.
Yeah.
And you know, with 29,000, you might only reach 24. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're aware of that. That just means superficially, people all go there for whatever reason. But it doesn't mean anything. Because just to change one life, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents and changes. Imagine if a saint would begin to grow and be happy all the time. Who has decided today, I'm going to be happy all the time?
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because there's no judgment can ever fall on me. It all fell on Jesus. It can never fall on me. I get all the blessing. He gets all the burden. I love it. Good exchange. What an exchange life. That he always takes all the burden, all the judgment always falls on him. You always get all the blessing. You don't deserve it because you deserve this. He doesn't deserve to give you mercy, but you get it for free. He loves giving away things for free. Because he earned it by taking all the judgment that was on you, even though he was innocent. He didn't deserve any of the judgment, so it didn't stick on him. You remember, all your sins, they didn't stick on Jesus. They're buried in the tomb. He just walked up 3 days later, just got out. He's happy as a lark. Why? Because his church is now free. So, no more judgment. Everybody's worried about the great judgment, the great white throne judgment, I don't care which judgment. So what? We already been judged. It's over. How did we do it? Jesus took it for us. Jesus already took all my pain. He took all my sorrow. He took all everything. The only thing you can do is marry us. Now, judges marry people. I don't know if you're aware of that. So a judge, instead of condemning me and going through all my sins and stuff, don't worry about it. Jesus already took care of that, and I know I'm blessed with God. Thanks, Father. And the Father winks at you and goes, good answer. You're a good answer. You're not a little brat. You're a good dad. That's a smart answer. How do you plead? Innocent? How come? Well, because Jesus took all my pain, all my sorrows, all my bad deeds, and now I'm a new person. And to prove it, there's even good work coming out of me, and I didn't do any of them. I didn't do any of my good works because all my deeds are wrought in God. Jesus did it. The same Jesus that forgave me is the same Jesus now lives in me. It's the same Jesus that's now perfecting me. It's the same Jesus going to marry me. It's the same Jesus that's going to put me in heaven forever and ever. So there's no condemnation. I want you to say it. There's no condemnation.
There's no condemnation.
There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus who blah, 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 blah. So we're no longer under the law of sin and death. You can sin, but you can't die. Why? Because when you sin, Jesus died.
That's it.
Okay. You can't be under the law of sin and death. When you sin, Jesus died, so that interrupts that little process. Why? Because that's the way it works in heaven. It doesn't work that way on earth. It works that way in heaven. That's why he put the church on earth, to show how heaven could be on earth. Where we could forgive sinners for anything they do. Wouldn't that be good if we overcame Al-Qaeda, not with guns and spears and, you know, all kinds of
satellites and whatever else,
close their bank accounts and so on. Yeah, we just overcome them because of our love.
Yeah.
They can chop their heads off all day long because we forgive that. Why? Because God forgave us. Yeah. So what they do doesn't hurt us. The only thing we're after is their happiness.
Yeah.
And are they happy? No, they're lonely. Muslim people are lonely people. Nobody likes them. They don't like Hindus, they don't like Buddhists, they don't like Christians, they don't like Jews, they don't like anybody. They don't even like each other. If they killed off everybody in the rest of the world, they'd kill off each other right after that. The Sunnis would kill off the Shia would kill off the Sunnis, and pretty soon there'd be nobody left. So that's not a good religion. Now, I'm not against their religion. They have a right to believe in anything they want and do whatever they want. It's okay with me. Why? Because Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Simple. Do y'all see this? This is the two-edged sword coming out of Jesus' mouth in Revelation, the first chapter. It's based on the fact that he can do the second one, and the first one can fall on him. And the reason he can do that is to sub for you, because God said, I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. Exodus 33, verse 19. But if you read the whole thing, and I wish I could, but if you read the whole thing, the whole chapter, you'll see that everything he's saying there is to get to this big point of the 19th verse, which is, hey, by the way, I just gave the law to Moses, and if you break it, you get cursed, and if you keep it, you you get blessing. Well, they never did any of it, so they never got the blessing. And they always did everything he said not to do, so they always got the curse. That's the history of Judaism. Read it. It's in the Old Testament. And it's still going on. Adolf Hitler was one of the last big guys that got him, and now Al-Qaeda is trying to get him. Everybody wants to get him, but you know what? They won't be God. Why? Because of us. Because of us Christians. Why? Because we're going to show them how mercy works. We're going to show them in their own Bible, in Exodus, 33rd chapter. It says right there that anytime God wants to, he can do any sinner, anybody who sins, he can show them mercy and let them off. So under the law, they're guilty. But under the gospel, they're innocent. Under the law, they're guilty. But under the gospel, they're innocent. So the judge says to anybody that comes into his court, how do you plead? Innocent? You know, but that doesn't mean anything, because then they'll bring out witnesses and evidence and whatever. And then finally, they'll have to pay something or, you know, adjudicate or make some kind of a deal or whatever. But you know what? The truth is, in heaven, it's not like that. Heaven's better. I would appeal to heaven. I appeal the judgment of this court. Where are you going to appeal? To heaven. So heaven is a better court.
Amen.
Everybody wins in heaven. Everybody, even sinners can go to heaven. Well, that's what heaven's for. Sinners. Imagine God having to adjust heaven for sinners. Let's see, we have to have perfect people. How are we going to get that? Well, you could die for everybody's sin and then set all people free. Ah, okay, I'll do it. So Jesus came down and he's got a whole bunch of us, but even though we're free, we don't understand this freedom is a big deal. That there's no more judgment.
Well,
zero, it's gone. Judgment is over. I know there's going to be a white throne judgment, but you know what the judgment's going to be? You know what the judgment's going to be? You get a crown. That's going to be what you're going to get. You get an inheritance. So the judges handle those cases too. So you're actually going to be married and then get a crown and then have a big inheritance. So he's going to go, oh, go to my right. Oh, go to my left. Okay. So everybody will be judged, but our judgment will be, oh, the person's innocent. This person is one of mine. Is that son, is this one of your bride priest people? Oh, yeah. That's one I'm going to marry. Dad, you're going to do that ceremony as soon as this is over here. And so it's all good news. Do you like good news?
Amen.
This is all good news. There's no bad news here. I know I'm overdoing it. I'm making it way better than it is. No, I'm not. I'm making it less better than it is. It is so good. It is unbelievable. It's out of this world.
Praise the Lord.
Amen? Now you can actually not just believe in what I just said, but you can practice it. You can practice in your own family. Oh, no, don't even get to your family. Just start with yourself. When you do something wrong, instead of feeling judgment, remember, Jesus paid for that, I say, okay, God has forgiven me. Thank you, God. And you don't have to go through the beads. You don't have to run around the church. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. Why? Jesus loved me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Simple. Simple. So then, if you want, you don't have to. If you want, because you're not under law anymore. No more law. Under law. Under gospel. We're under the gospel. If you want, you can then start doing the same with your... As God has loved you, you can love others. Right in your own family. Somebody can do wrong to you in the family, and that often happens. I believe there are many families where sin takes place. Like 100%. Okay, so I believe there are sins in all families. And all you have to do, like I do with Peggy, is, you know, Peggy, you're the best. No matter what she's done or said or haven't done or haven't said, I don't care. She's my wife. Beloved. Period. Unconditional. No conditions for her. She can throw a pan at me. She can yell at me. She can ignore me. She can play games with me. Do anything she wants. I don't care. You all see that?
Amen.
Now, you could actually do that on earth. That'd be kind of fun. That'd be fun, is to give people exactly what they don't deserve.
Amen.
Why?
Amen.
Because that's what Jesus did. All the judgment falls on Jim. All the blessing falls on Peg. That's so simple. What a simple way to live. Where I'm always for everybody else, and I'm not for myself. Why am I not for myself? I don't need to be. God's for me. If God be for you, who can be against you? So there he is. If I don't need to be for myself, I can now be for others. Why? As I don't need to take care of you. I can take care of others because others don't know this good news. This truth will set you free.
Right.
This truth will set you free. Now, this is so powerful that he's purifying his church right now. You're not doing it. You're not helping him. You're not cooperating with him. You're just simply being you.
Hallelujah.
But he's already forgiven your deed, and now he's already separated your person. So he saves sinners, even though they're sinners. And he saves them while they're yet sinners. He doesn't save them after they stop sinning, or when they say, I'm sorry, I'll be better. He doesn't care about all that I'm sorry stuff. He doesn't care about that. Because first of all, you're probably lying.
And you'll probably keep doing the thing anyway.
So he doesn't want that. All he wants you to do is believe that he's good. This is the only picture here has nothing to do with you. This picture has everything to do with God. What kind of God do you have? Your picture of God determines everything in your life. Your picture of God determines everything in the world. Everything. Your picture of God has to be right. It's more important than politics. It's more important than economics. It's more important than society. It's more important than your personality, your family. It's more important than anything in the world, your picture of God. Get the right picture. Has God ever been a judge? Yes. But what did he do with his judgment? Put it on himself. He made a law that he would have to keep for you. Isn't it amazing?
Amen.
Don't you think that's amazing?
Praise God.
You should be shouting.
Hallelujah.
You should be shouting. This is good. I'm gonna shout. Pastor, that's awesome. Praise God. Hallelujah. Keep going. Because this is good. James 2:13. Somebody read that. Find out. That's a good one. And somebody else, let's see. How about John 3:16? How about John 3:17? How about John 3:18? Somebody find that. John 3:16, 17, and 18. Listen to this. Everything that God has done on earth is for your good. You know, it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance.
Yeah.
It's the goodness of God, not the severity of God, not the judgment of God, not the criticism of God. God's mad at sin. He's not mad at sinners. He's mad at sin. He's not mad at sinners. But he wants to save sinners. He wants to save them, to take them home, and give them a big reward. For doing what? Nothing. For doing nothing. For doing nothing. And matter of fact, they've rebelled against him. They've done everything he said not to do, and they did nothing that he said to do. That's the one he wants to take to heaven. Isn't that amazing? I'll tell you, this is good, Hugo. This is good news. This is good news. Because you and me, just the two of us, we're no good. By nature. We never did right. But all of a sudden, God shows us the truth and sets us free. Wow, God loves sinners. I never loved sinners. Does anyone here love sinners? People that sin against you, that abuse you, that come against you, do you love them? Do you welcome them? Oh, it's so good to see you. No. Are you praying for all your enemies? Are you blessing all your enemies? You pray for the president? You pray for people that you know are doing wrong? It doesn't hurt you. Well, how does that hurt you? When Jesus loves you, who cares what everybody... Let them do what they want.
Right.
They can't hurt me because Jesus already spoken. Amen. He's already said, that's my boy. That's my boy Jim. Oh, I'm so cute to God. He thinks I'm cute. Amen. He likes me. Just as I am without one plea. So God likes me just the way I am, Cynthia. You don't have to be good. You don't have to.
God. Hallelujah.
You don't have to try. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be a perfectionist. You don't have to be under pressure. You don't have to be under weight. Why? Because the judgment's already passed. Jesus took it 2,000 years ago. When he was judged on the cross, that's the end of judgment. Jesus even said that. Now is the judgment of this world. And so the ruler of this world, Satan, who only rules wicked people, he thought, good, I've won. I finally killed Jesus. I killed God's son. Yay! Now there'll be no hope in the world. There'll be no happiness in the world. There'll be no more illusions about going to heaven or something. I got rid of that idea. Nope. Jesus jumped up again. Woo! Hi, here I am. And he then built his church. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So is it possible that Al-Qaeda could win?
No.
Nope. Could it look like it? Yep. He's just testing you. To see if you know this truth right here. That everything God has ever done, if you're under law, you will be judged. But you're not under law. Why? Because Jesus, under law, got judged for you. And he said, I did this for Roxy. I did this for Jack. I did this for Chad. I did this already. That's over. I did it for everybody. Wow. So good people, bad people, no difference. Who cares? Who cares about good people, bad people, moral people, immoral people, rational people, irrational people, fat people, skinny people? Who cares about all that? People, 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 people. But God reserved the right because he said so in Exodus 33:19. He said, I reserve the right to forgive a sinner if I want to. Well, guess what? He wants to. I mean, it's like, if I want to. But now, he's already proven it in Jesus. He wanted to die for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Wow! Who's going to read that? John 3.
Oh, no, I want to
read. Okay, you read that.
I want to read the other thing.
You can read as much as you want out of it, because the whole chapter is awesome.
Oh, well, is it okay if I read James?
Yeah, read whatever you want.
For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Totally. There it is. Is that not good?
I love it.
That's too good. You can live by that verse. Mercy, here it is, I wrote it here. Let mercy triumph over judgment. Mercy has already won. So the mercy is greater than the judgment. Because the judgment fell on Jesus and the mercy falls on you or runs to you. It's yours. You're part of that. The trust, this trust, the spiritual trust, all the good goes to me, all the bad goes to him.
Praise God.
It's such a good idea. It's so good because Jesus is the only one that can handle it. I can't handle judgment. I'm not good in judgment. If God put a little pain on me, I don't like it. A little suffering on me, oh, I don't like it. But Jesus taught me a better way. Jim, don't worry about all that. I'll take care of all that. I'll take care of you. Really? Yeah, put your trust in me. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Put your trust in me, Jim. Well, what if? Are you sure, Jesus? Just trust me. Just trust me. Now, he knows I won't. How many know he knows that when he says something, we won't do it? How many know that even as Christians, even born again, even spirit-filled, even spirit-led, even in Pastor Jim's church, people still don't get it? I mean, I've preached this for 50 years, and it goes nowhere. But it just might be a miracle takes place, and somebody gets it. And once you get it, you're free forever.
Yeah.
So it's worth it. I repeat it every Sunday. I say the same thing. I always say the same thing. You can fall asleep. You can not show up. I'll just say the same thing. I never, ever give a different message. It's always the same message. Here it is. Here it is. It's beautiful. And I can say it in a million ways. Why? Because that's the way God says it. That's why he wrote that big Bible. It's always saying the same thing. There's judgment for sin, but there's mercy for sinners who did the sin, so that they can be set free forever. I like that. Jerry.
All right. Jim, judging deed and person simultaneously
right. Is
kind of a societal habit.
Right.
And some of it may begin in the family as the children are being brought up.
Right.
Where the parent, who is the judge,
simultaneously
condemns, so to speak, the deed and the person.
Correct.
And what causes a transformation to occur
right. So
that these two become separate as that person
correct. Grows
into adulthood?
It's a question. What causes then for us to make this separation is only this gospel right here. Because otherwise we would all do the same thing. We would judge the person along with the deed. We would combine the two. Why? Because if the tree is bad, it produces bad fruit. You see bad fruit, kill the tree. Chop the tree down, then you won't have that bad fruit. That's the world's way of understanding it. But God says the tree is Jesus. So he kills Jesus so that you will bear good fruit. You get a new tree. Why? Because Jesus resurrected as a new tree. And therefore, Jesus separates the deed from the person. So that's better. That produces a better world than the world of Adam. The in-Christ world is better than the in-Adam world. So the world where we originally came from in Adam, all men were created in Adam, but that world is over for us. We're in Christ. So anyone who believes this And all it is in believing is just, hey, I like it. I like that idea. Because I win and he loses, but he likes losing because then he wins in losing. So Jesus is not afraid to die. How many know he can't die? Why? Because he's innocent. He's righteous. He's holy. He's pure. And now I see that the holiness of God is never against me. It's only against my deed. And then God takes all the responsibility here to die for me and all the responsibility here to take this person and then purify him and perfect him. Now, he took all the responsibility for everything. What am I going to do? Where's my value? Where's my worth? Where's my, what part do I play? None. Just like little kids, they don't ask that question. Little kids never say, what can I do to earn my supper tonight? They never ask that. What can I do to thank you for the bed that I have tonight? They don't ever think about that. Little kids just enjoy themselves and they don't know why. They don't know that there's a world war going on. They don't know the economy's falling apart. They don't know anything. All they know is, Jesus loves me. This I know. They don't know anything. So little kids are happy because they're in ignorance. They're in bliss. Well, you know what? Unless you become like a little child and not enter into the kingdom of God.
Praise the Lord.
Unless you're ready to be like a little child to be happy all the time in a bad world. You have to be happy in a wicked world. You have to be happy in a bad family. You have to be happy in a, wretched situation and laugh your head off. Because Jesus already paid for that, separated the deed from the person. So simple. Law goes against deed. Mercy goes for person. I love it.
Hallelujah.
I love this God. This is the real God.
Yeah.
The other God is not the real God. This is not God here to judge you. It's to judge the old man of you by Jesus dying for you. That's how he judged you. But he separated you, this deed, from this person. Why? Because he always had in mind, and he created you, ketamutnu, according to his likeness. He created you that way. Are we ready to go?
10:19.
Did you all get the good news?
Yes. Yes.
All right, who could repeat?
Did you get it? What do you say? Do you see how it changed?
Say again.
Do you see how it changed so they no longer hurt you?
Yeah, I'm wondering where the change in the child's perception has to come from the Christ parent.
Yep. Right.
And so the responsibility for the transformation lies in the faith of the parent and the spirit operating.
100%. The parent is always the one responsible until they're an adult, until they're of age. So you raise them to just do this, and you do it not so much by teaching, you do it just by living it.
By example.
Yeah. Is that when they do bad, you spank them, but you don't destroy them. You break their will, but never their spirit. You're not trying to break their spirit, because they're full of life and doing all kinds of bad things, hitting each other and so on and so forth. And what you want is to break their will. Hey, you stop that right now. And all you want to do is break their will. Okay, sorry. You say you're sorry to your sister. Okay, sorry. That's all they want. But to break their spirit? No, you don't want to break their spirit because they're full of life. They're full of life. And they're just being stupid because they're kids. They're just little kids. They don't know the rules. They don't know how it works, right? Didn't you grow up that way?
Yeah.
Did you grow up that way?
Yeah.
You just do what you're doing. And when they say they're going to spank you, you stop. Because they're only changing your deed. I always told my kids, I never called my kids bad. I always said, what you did was wrong. We're Christians. We don't do it that way. Here's the way we do it. And it's just behavior. It's totally behavior. Because I was only into deed. All you have to do in this family to get food and stay on the right side is, behave yourself. So when they did wrong and didn't behave themselves, what did I do? I didn't say, you're bad. You're bad. I never said, you're bad. I said, what you did is not the way Christians do it. That's a different way. So I separated the deed from the person. The deed that you did is not you. You're a Christian. We do it this way in our family like this. And I didn't make them get born again or anything like that. I just simply taught them that from the beginning. And then they picked it up. So when Kara would hit Kirsten, Kara had her door with a bucket on top of it, so that if Kirsten came in her room, because she said, "Don't come in my room," and then if she'd come in the room, this bucket would fall right on her, full of stuff. And Kara would abuse her, but Kara was the perfect child. She was an absolutely wonderful child. As far as we knew, we didn't know about the bucket over the door and all the other stuff. And if Kirsten come in and sit on her bed, because Kirsten loved her older sister, she just loved her so much to be in her room or be around her or whatever. She'd say, "Get off my bed, you get cooties on my bed." You know? She just treated her like horrible, but we didn't know about it. I never knew about it. Because she was the perfect child. She'd play her flute every morning, play the piano every morning, straighten up all the silverware, everything. She's straight A, got all the ribbons. I think they had 7 different ribbons they gave out in school. She got them all. And she got them all the next year. So the school came to us and said, "We can't have this. We got to give away ribbons to someone else." No, it's because she knows her Bible verses. She knows her, you know, she knows everything. She just excels in everything. I don't know if you can have children like that. And she was just one of those like that. She's still like that. But today, she's now reflecting on the fact that she's not perfect. She has 8 kids, for one thing. And so she realizes, I can't handle all these kids. And her husband's always working and, you know, making a lot of money, but he's never home. And so she's learning, God, how does this Christianity thing work? I'm always being good, and I'm bearing all the brunt. This is not working. Where's my happiness come in? And so it's good. So it's real easy.
She's learning she's not good.
She's learning now she's not good, because she's even judging the other people in church and everything else. So she's learning. How come I'm the one that plays the piano? How come I'm the one that dusts the books in the church? How come I'm the one that, you know, she's doing everything? And so she's learning now is doing good is not what God wants.
Yeah.
That you're being happy is what God wants.
Amen.
And she's learning to do that. Yeah. Hey, I want some things. I want a new couch downstairs. I want this. You know, she's learning to get her way.
It just occurred to me, one of the answers, my dad was a very strict disciplinarian. My Navy chief in both World War I and II.
Wow.
And the thing that overrode the punishment was his love and the things that he always helped me do and what have you. Even when I was 8 years old, getting up with me at 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday to deliver papers. But he was always there.
Yeah.
And so the weight of the evidence,
wow,
in terms of punishment,
right,
and love,
right,
was very disproportionate.
Yeah.
And so looking for the example,
right,
love conquers all.
Love conquers all.
And he certainly did that for me.
See, he had a discipline side to get the sin or behavior. Why? Because good behavior actually makes for happiness. Bad behavior does not. When people do bad behavior, I mean the most wicked people, well, they get away with everything, and I was one of those. You can get away with everything, but you're not happy.
That's right. I mean,
one thing you can't say is, I'm really happy cheating everybody, lying to everybody, conning
That's
everybody.
True.
You know, you can't say that.
Thanks.
But I'm getting everything I want, and I'm not happy.
Right.
And that's what you learn. When you get away with murder, when you get away with, you know, lying and cheating and stealing, you realize, I'm doing everything I want, and I am not happy. I'm still not happy. Even though I'm getting everything I want, I know how to steal, and I know how to cheat, and I know how to lie. Here I am at Yale, here I am, you know, going to the top of the top of the top. But what good is it? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's nothing, because it's going nowhere. And that's what people learn when they go to Hollywood. That's what they learn when they become president of the United States. That's what they learn when they go to the top, is it's not so easy. It's not, you know, that you just play golf all the time. And even if you did, you'd get drunk. I mean, whatever. The point is, there is no such thing as happiness on this earth without Jesus Christ.
All right, man. Amen.
Period. So since I'm after happiness for everybody, why? Because I've got it. Well, you're happy at all times and in all places and under all circumstances when you're happy. Then you are free to love other people even when they're harming you. Right? You don't have any fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. He loved me perfectly. Here it is. All the judgment he took. All the mercy I got. That's awesome. Not only that, but he perfects me. He isn't just merciful. He also uses all of his power now to help me. to become just like him. And so he does it all. The parent does it all. The child does nothing. The child just enjoys. You don't want to spoil them. Meaning, you don't want them to realize there isn't a payment, but the parent pays for the payment. The parent pays for that. So when a parent sends you to this school or takes you to this class or go to this camp or whatever, the parent is trying to do everything so that you can become a responsible and a happy and a fulfilled person. That's a good thing. Not a bad thing. But the parent has to pay for it. Somebody has to pay for that. And usually, kids don't appreciate that. But later in life, they do. They realize, my parent was really kind to me. They should have disciplined me more. Now that I'm married, I'm falling apart. Because spoiled people don't make good marriage partners. Roxy, am I right?
Yes.
Right. So it's good to be abused quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Then when you get married, it's a relief. So thank you, Bonnie. You abused her good. No, you didn't abuse her. I'm just saying that. It's good not to have a perfect family, because then you expect it as though it were just free. It's good to have a lot of rough up. Raul. No, it is. It is good because that's how you learn.
Yep.
Because without God, you can't find happiness and peace here. All right. Hope you're blessed today.
Absolutely.
It's good. It's powerful. It's simple. It's sweet. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
I never got it separated until I got here.
Wow.
And I was in church.
Wow.
5 years old, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival. Never got it separated.
Thank you for sharing that, Bonnie. That's powerful. That's powerful. Separating the sin from the sinner. God's done it for you. Love one another. Say amen. Anyone else? Got something out of it? Did you get something out of it, Jacob?
Yes.
Good. Anyone else? Good. All right. The best is yet to come.
Hallelujah.
You haven't even seen anything yet. He's good. The goodness of God leads to repentance.